Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. William Miller, what are you doing this week?
Oh, God, this week I'm working. Working pretty hard.
That was easily the most entertaining bit you could have come up with. We've also got Justin Ficarata of Kill Monty fame.
How's it going? How do I sound this week?
You sound like there's an ass in your face, and that's what you're recording into.
Now, Tom is going to bleep that out, and the users aren't going to know whether you said or
No, see, it's just going to be, but that your joke doesn't work because all the words you just said are getting bleeped out. You're stupid. You're not thinking ahead. Put your head in the game. We haven't had a show in like 6 years, guys. We've gone like 2 weeks without a show. We tried to record it a week ago, and we had problems.
I said it's built up like a bad Duke.
So we're finally back on track, guys. That's why this show, we don't have a discussion for this show, because we got so much news, we just got to get right into it. And this is your gaming news for April 9th, 2007. All right, this week in the news, we got Rock Band announced, Capcom Dead Rising and Lost Planet Stay 360 exclusives, PS3 launches in Europe, sales slowing, Xbox 360 promoted to Elite, and Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer release. We've also got, how many is this? We've got 12 releases. Ridiculous. A huge number of releases these past 2 weeks. We've got like 10 judgments for you. Look at that. I can't believe how long the show's going to take. We got all these janks. We got like 20 voicemails. We're never going to finish the show. We got to start right now. But first, guys, we got to stop and thank everyone last month for voting us not only number 30 top podcast in the world for the month of March, according to Podcast Alley, but if you really want to think about it and work the numbers, the number one gaming podcast for the month of March.
Oh, diz damn.
According to Podcast Alley.
That's pretty good. That's hot heat.
That's pretty good. Now, Blake Buck, did we beat the cast?
We did beat the Actually, I don't think they're around anymore. I think they've been taken down. But we beat Soccer Girl.
Now, see, I actually searched online to actually compare the cast to the new IMG podcast and shed a tear for them because they're done. They're gone. There is no more cast.
Oh man, the p***s, that was it.
They're up f***ing little boys in podcast heaven.
Well, we did beat Soccer Girl, which is like the sexy soccer girl podcast. So we beat sex this month. That's what one of our emails
pretty
said.
Good.
So thanks everybody for the vote. And look again next week, guys. After we finish the show, I'm gonna be working all week to put in a new piece of video heat in the feed for you guys. Maybe even the footage from New York that I've been sitting around not doing for weeks. So if we can keep these numbers going, maybe next month we'll even have another piece of secret video heat. Who knows?
All right, so Blake Buck, okay, so we got in the top 30. Now, that's according to Justin Fick and his record of this this challenge. That's Marathon 1 and Marathon 2 that you have to play. Is that correct, Justin Fick?
That is correct. That is where we stand.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Now, we got to number 30 in Podcast Alley this month, but I think we can do better than that. I think we can get in the top 10.
Look, I want top 10, baby.
So I'll open it up to our listeners. We can either make Blake Buck play Marathon 1 and 2 now, or we can wait, hide that power, and see if we can get in the top 10 and see all three of them marathons, Blake Buck naked.
And you think that is a joke? You think that I will not put a video of myself playing Marathon naked up on the website? No, sir. I will do it.
Dude, Blake Buck wants you guys to get us into the top 10. He is like, he is waiting patiently to rip his clothes off and play Marathon.
In fact, look, to even get you guys going, I might flash a picture of my in the feed right now. Who knows? Just look down in that album art. Who knows what'll come up there? So vote for us at Podcast Alley. In fact, I think Tom Barbalay even has some new voting music. So right now, pause the show while the voting music's going on. Go to PodcastAlley.com and vote. Also, you can go, I should have said this before I pause. You can also click vote now on our show notes.
Thank you.
Well, what have we got in the news, Wayne Miller?
Okay, so perhaps the biggest announcement since we've been away is Rock Band from Harmonix has been announced. Now, Wayne Miller has been biting at the bit to actually be able to talk about this game without violating his NDA, because I've actually played Rock Band, and let me tell you something. It's pretty hot. So Alex Rigopoulos, he's the co-founder of Harmonix, said that the core premise of Guitar Hero, takes the core premise of the Guitar Hero and expands it tenfold, lets you create and complete collaborative bands. So the idea behind Rock Band is that you are a band. You and your friends get together and you can play guitar, rhythm guitar, bass, drums, and vocals. So it takes everything that you could possibly want in a rhythm game and combines it into one mega game. So this, coupled with the fact that now with a lot of money from MTV, no more covers, all original music from that means original master tracks. So not like new music.
Okay, so not like bonus tracks from Guitar Hero original, like Primus coming in recording heat original.
There's no confirmed music yet. Although we did have some in the version that I played, but I'm not going to tell you what it was.
Freebird.
We've got some artists though. The Allman Brothers, Kansas, Nirvana, a couple others are listed here. So this game looks to be awesome. It's got multiplayer online, downloadable content. People are calling it the next MTV. I can't believe it.
Whoa.
The next MTV? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But think about it. Think about like that being the way that you experience new music now. Instead of you going to watch it on MTV, you watch the video or get the album, you just download it and your band plays it in Rock Band.
But that suggests that this game is going to have even a fraction of the penetration that MTV had or television has in general. I mean, every house in America owns a TV. How many houses in America own a set of drums and some of these officially licensed foot pedals?
Guitar Hero 2 had 10 times as much music as you'll hear on MTV in a month.
Dude, yep. Dude, you shut up about MTV. I watch Real World every week. Real World Denver. Coley's my favorite because she's the drunk and I love to laugh at her week after week.
I got to say, Blake Buck, you would be a good Real World character.
I think you would.
Dude, Real World came to my town one day, and I really wanted to go audition for Real World when they came to my town. But I knew they're not looking for Blake Buck. They would weed me out so fast. All right, so it's your first week on the house. What do? I'm going to take it in the freezer. Thank you, sir. We'll call you if we need you. That would never work.
Anyway, what I would like to see, because obviously this game is going to give rise to so many, you know, nice, expensive controllers. Like, they're going to come out with drum kits and guitars and microphones. I want to see kind of like a power glove, kind of like the old school Nintendo power glove for the singer that when he raises up and he throws the goat, it does star power.
Yeah, like, or you do like the yes where you pull it down, you know, yes, and then you get like bonus points if you do it on the beat.
Or you can do the Andrew WK punching the air move.
There you go.
Wait, can we get some Andrew WK right now?
What?
That's a stock sound effect. Barbelay has that queued up whenever we need it.
We can't do that.
Wait, we played him before.
Oh, that's right, we have.
Come on, give it the program, son.
Tom, go. Andrew WK. One of the concerns is that this game might cost a bunch.
I saw $240 was the bottom line, William Miller. That's what I saw.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, EB and GameStop are already listing prices for peripherals. So I've seen like $60 guitars, like $80 drum kits, and this hasn't even been announced yet. I don't know what part of the circle of life all that falls into.
I'm going to tell you right now, this game is not going to cost $200. There's no way. This game is not going to cost $200, and I would highly doubt that all the controllers are going to come in the same package. And in fact, I read somewhere that the original Guitar Hero controller is compatible with this game.
Oh, I'm sure. But look, Blake Buck's got to have it all. You don't understand. I got to have all the controllers. I own every ridiculous peripheral ever released. I've got 2 Taiko Drum Masters. I bought my 4th bongo last week. I've been thinking about getting one of them, you know, what is it, silent scope guns with the TV in the scope. I've got maracas. This fall is not going to be a fun time for Blake Buck.
It's going to hurt your wallet quite a bit.
Dude, you know what this means, though? This means that BDPE needs to form a rock band.
That's right. Actually, I have a little tidbit. William Miller is the bass player for the very first official rock band in Rock Band. It was called. No, I'm serious. It was
nice.
It was called the Gym Turns. It was all the interns got together and made this band called the Gym Turns. We go down there and play Rock Band in the Star Chamber. That soundproof
and,
room.
And then we go down there, and I can't tell you anything else that happened after that.
No, we can't tell you anything else. No, but it's very, very, very cool. And I played it in a really early stage, so it looked like... But, you know, it's going to be awesome. That's all I can say. It's going to be awesome.
Now, can you say, like, is this going to be, like, a kind of, like, everyone in the same room kind of thing? Or is this going to be over Xbox Live?
Well, according to the press release, you'll be able to play all in the same place or online. So your band can play online, all in the same place together, like as a group, or you can network with your members of your band and play online as well.
Dude, I want Sippin' the Swede as our drummer.
No, dude, Sippin' the Swede is our vocalist.
Dude, Blake Buck is the vocalist. You better get that right.
We've all heard you sing Freebird, Blake Buck. You're pretty good at it.
Yeah, because I can sing along with the guitar with my mouth.
So there's going to be some interesting like design challenges that they were sort of tackling when I was there, and that I'd be interested to see how they solve. One of them is like the HUD. If you think about like the interface that you need for Guitar Hero, I mean, it's, you know, probably will be very similar. I'm speculating.
Dude, I don't want a box that like one person's got top, one's got left, one's got right. It's a big tube of music.
I mean, but I mean, if you have like a bass and a rhythm guitar and a lead guitar, that's, and then drums, which has some interface that I can't talk about. That's 4 interfaces plus the singing one. That's 5. So how are you gonna fit all that heat on the screen,
dude? It's gonna be a cornucopia of UI elements.
Well, I'm excited. I am excited about Rock Band. I'm just looking at my wallet and crying already.
I talked to Sean, the once tech artist, now PR liaison for Harmonix, and he's going to try to hop on our show at some point so we can make fun of him. So stay tuned for that. If you remember, he was on BDPE episode 1, he and Devron. So maybe we can get Sean on to come on the show and talk about Rock Band in the near future.
Dude, I want Devron back on with his lady friend.
We'll have to do a battle rematch.
We will have to do a battle rematch. They didn't fare so well in the battle.
They didn't do very good at all.
Not like Brenda Brathwaite, who got all of her questions right.
All right, so on the other side of video games, Capcom is reporting that Dead Rising and Lost Planet are going to stay exclusive titles to the 360. Now, this is in response to, if you guys remember a while back, they announced that Devil May Cry 4, they were going to port to the 360. It was going to be for 360 and PlayStation 3. And naturally, Sony fans all their pants and moaned, and they actually started a petition to Capcom saying that either you don't make it for 360 or we're not going to buy it.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Well, they actually spun it in some light where, like, if you keep it exclusive to Sony, it's better for Sony and therefore better for Capcom. And Capcom's like, dude, you're full of shit. So after that, you know, the public kind of asked them, well, it's like, well, are we going to get games like Dead Rising and Lost Planet? And Capcom's like, no.
Ooh. See, I'm just surprised that that fanboys were so organized enough to actually get together an online petition. Usually they're just on forums going, OMG, Metal Gear sucks.
Well, actually, there's a petition that to get BioShock.
Dude, I got some heat about BioShock. Why is everybody so excited about BioShock? It's from an unknown developer. I mean, I guess it looks good, but everybody's in their pants over this relatively unknown game, baby. What's going on?
Look, Wayne Miller's really excited about BioShock. It looks really cool. Like, the demonstrations that I saw. Now, judgment's still out. I'm not gonna give this one a thumbs up or thumbs down, but it looks really pretty. That's number one. And the AI looks really good.
Oh, yeah, you could tell from the trailer, huh? You could tell the AI, huh?
Well, that was one of the big things that they're hyping, is like how the enemies behave relative to you and other enemies. And, like, I don't know, it just looks really good, and it looks scary. And I like scary.
So what's the deal, though? Like the publisher needed 50,000 signatures on this online petition before they make a port of it or something?
It's special edition. The thing you're talking about is like before, this is dumb, all right? Before the game was even, before it's even released, fanboys want a special edition of the game. Dumb, all right? It could suck. And look what you got. You got a shitty game special edition. All right, so they say, all right, well, we'll give you special edition if you can get 50,000 signatures on this petition. So, like, they've got a bajillion signatures now. So apparently they're going to put out special edition. That's the only time in the history of the internet that a petition's ever worked. So don't get your knickers all in a twist and go trying to do it again, because it won't work.
Dude, I just got my fingers crossed, though, for that to come out and no one buys it and no one ever takes a petition seriously ever again. I am crossing my fingers for it.
Kind of like Stalker?
Dude, I don't give a about Stalker. Still don't.
Oh, it's thundering outside. I'm a little scared. I had to let you know that. All right. Are we ready to move on?
Speaking of thunder, I heard PS3's thunder is waning in Europe. Oh, segue. Oh,
damn. All right, I guess it was about a week and a half ago, the PlayStation 3 launched in Europe. And it also launched in Australia and I think even New Zealand. It was essentially like, US and Japan got it and then everybody else got it last week. Well, the PlayStation 3 came out, and for most of the press releases I saw, it looked lame. Like, there was nobody in line. The lines were empty. The Eiffel Tower had a big, like, launch event, and, like, 45 people showed up. They thought there were going to be, like, 10,000 people. And then I saw a YouTube video earlier the week of the PlayStation 2 launch, 4 years or 5 years prior. It was ridiculous. In the same location, it was in Paris, Eiffel Tower. They had like a big dome in the middle of the room, and there were like 1,000 people around this dome. And then the dome raises up, and there's stacks of PlayStation 2s, and there are these guards trying to hold people back, but people just shoving through and pushing people down, and they're trying to grab them. It was ridiculous. And then you cut to the PlayStation 3 launch, and it's like 45 people here. So. But not all bad. Not all bad. PlayStation 3 launch. It had a record selling launch in London and the UK. But after that, since in the subsiding week since then, sales have slowed down dramatically. ChartTrack, who gathers the data from the majority of UK game retailers, said that after the first initial explosion of the first week, sales are down 82% this week. So, whereas they sold 165,000 units on the first day, they only sold like 32,000 in the second week. So it started off good, but now sales are really slowing down in Europe and worldwide. I would say for the PlayStation 3.
I love this company though. It's like if we were to start a market research company, it's not like Buck Miller and Fick Market Research Incorporated. No, ChartTrack.
Track?
Dude. Charge?
Track.
Track? That's what they do. They got charts every week and they track them. But in response to the PlayStation 3 launch, maybe in response, who knows, Microsoft unveiled, now we talked about this last week, Microsoft has unveiled the new Xbox 360 Elite. And of course, that's written 1337 on the side. This is a black HDMI-enabled 120-gigabyte version of Microsoft's Xbox 360. It's going to be retailing for, hold your breath, $479. So, if you don't have an Xbox 360 yet, you can pick this one up. You get all the glorious 1080p of HDMI. You're going to get the huge hard drive for downloading all that delicious IPTV that all the hipster kids are into these days. How do we... Look, We need to be on IPTV. How do we get on IPTV? I don't know. Somebody needs to figure that out for us. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Dude, we need to make face.jpg gamer pictures.
No, that's the default image. Like, if we're not doing a show, you just see face.jpg. That's like the standby image. Anyway, so Microsoft also announced the 120 gigabyte hard drive for the Xbox 360 just by itself. If you don't want to upgrade to the Elite model and you just want to get the newer hard drive, you can buy it for $180, and you can transfer your old jank to the new jank, but you can't ever go back, and you can't put more than one on the same jank. So if you're looking, if you're needing hard drive space, it's going to be coming in mid-April, and that new Xbox is coming in mid-April. And my brother, Ben Buck, is going to be getting one of these. So I'll let you guys know how it turns out when he gets it. Anything you guys want to add to that 360?
William Miller might be getting one of these as well, because he needs to start playing games, is what he's decided.
Yeah, what's the last game console you owned, William Miller? Was it the ColecoVision?
No, I never owned a ColecoVision. It was ICD. I own one of them. I don't know. What was the last console? Probably PlayStation. No. I had a GameCube.
I saw you with a PSP.
Oh, yeah, PSP. And I got a DS, too.
I mean, the thing that's kind of weird about this one is that the people that are really into games probably already have an Xbox 360. I don't know. It's like people that don't have Xbox yet are, you know, they're kind of like... Maybe not the hardcore gamers, which is the opposite of what Microsoft is targeting with this $500 behemoth.
Well, look, they've got at least two people I know. They got my brother, and they got William Miller. So
true.
Look, I think they're doing it. I think they have a good idea. Like they need to release a console that's cheaper than the PlayStation 3, but comparable in specification, so that people will buy it instead.
And also, it needs to be black.
Yeah.
So you get confused which one you buy in the store. What? Is this a PlayStation? The last piece of news we got for you guys this week is the Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer has been released. Now, I got to tell you, I was excited.
Dude, we at Freeverse waited pretty much 6 hours to download it, and it took an hour to get there for a minute of trailer, and it was totally worth it.
Well... basically, what they did before, there was just this website. It was like, I think you can see it still now at rockstargames.com/IV for 4. That's Roman numerals for most of our listeners who don't understand. they had this site up, and it just had a countdown to, like, the end of the month, to, like, March 30th, and it kept counting down. And they actually ran an ad on the FX channel that was an infomercial that just had it had a big number 4 and a number counting down in the URL at the bottom.
See, that is brilliant.
The trailer finally came out, and of course it was slammed, and they went down for like an hour, but it's finally available. And Grand Theft Auto is going to be set in Liberty City, more New York like Liberty City. It's got all the New York highlights. And it looks good. You play as some Russian or Middle Eastern-looking dude, and looks like a lot of fun.
See, I love it, because they said, okay, how can we make this game more controversial than it already was in the first place? I got it. We'll make it star a Middle Eastern-looking dude. Done. Done.
Well, just imagine the possibility for like, co-op with seven other Middle Eastern-looking dudes... And just all
too soon, Jesse Fick.
Like the next thing you're gonna do, it's gonna be like the last mission is like go. Like, I wouldn't put it past them, honestly. I love it.
It's too soon, guys. Too soon.
And people are all pissed off that, like, I don't know, that, you know, New York is being portrayed as this like city of crime and all this. Like, get over it, man. Your city is a city of crime, and the game speaks the truth.
Yeah, I live in New York City, and I can confidently say, yeah, we're a city of crime.
Look, that game is canon, okay? It's canon. It's just like Shut Up and Jam Gaiden is canon.
Okay.
Look, you weren't even at the Space Jam, baby.
All right, and with that, it's time for releases. What do we got, baby?
All right, this week in releases, we got Command & Conquer 3, Tiberium Wars for the PC, dated March 26th.
These are last week's releases we never got to. Hey, just keep going. I mean, they're still good, baby. They're still steaming.
All right. All right, all right. So this is the third game in the original CNC series, featuring a new race and a new storyline. Silverfall for the PC. Some RPG. Silverfall. Medal of Honor Vanguard for the Wii and PS2.
Yeah, what the f*** is a Vanguard?
They're going to run out of World War II elements. So we also have Elder Scrolls IV, Shivering Isles, coming out for Xbox 360 and PC. All you need to know, expansion pack, Elder Scrolls IV. We have Jetpack Refuel for Xbox 360. This is on Xbox Live Arcade. It's basically a remake of a shitty old game by Rare. And we also have Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent coming out for PS3. Or not coming out, it's out. The Splinter Cell Stealth Action Series returns for a fourth go-around in Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent. So we also have Virtua Tennis 3 for 360, PS3, and PSP. Virtua Tennis returns for a third iteration, featuring improved AI, higher detail for the characters in various modes such as career, minigames, and more. There's a note here, Cliffy B needs to introduce the chainsaw tennis racket, turn shoot into cut. Thank you, Mr. Tom Barbalay.
Tom Barbalay, he's just all over this wiki.
Excellent.
He's just infesting it.
Dude, I gotta say, Mr. Barbalay saved the wiki this week.
This week's releases, we've got Guitar Hero 2 on the PS3. Release date, April 3rd, 2007. No description necessary. Cue Blake Buck singing Freebird. I am not singing Freebird. I don't know who wrote that. Shame on you.
Blake Buck, you have a Freebird button on your keyboard. How can you not sing Freebird?
Look, it's gotta be the right time. Later in the show, it'll be the right time. Oh, can I just tell an anecdote real quick here while we're doing these releases? I went to GameStop today, and I go up to the dudes at the counter, and I said, all right, I want this Guitar Hero 2 on the 360. And first of all, they laughed at me. They're like, you're too late, Blake. We already sold them all. But then, because I wasn't even planning on buying it. I was just trying to scope it out, but they love to rub that in my face. I fucking hate those guys at GameStop. Anyway, I asked the dude, I said, all right, look, I want to get this new Guitar Hero, right? So what if I brought all three of my guitars and both the games up here, and I traded all that heat in? How much money is that going to give me towards Guitar Hero 2? He was like, $50, maybe. Jank.
Dude, that's a veritable treasure trove.
Screw you, dude. Yeah, I know, seriously. Like, a year ago, I would have bought that for $1,000.
Dude, there's some kid over in Somalia who cannot rock, and GameStop is going to give you $50 for that heat.
Yeah, I tell you what, here's what we do. Look, I want to buy the new Guitar Hero, so if you want the old Guitar Hero, I'll sell you Guitar Hero, the game, and the two controllers for, like, what? For what? I say that's about $70. If you want it, feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Blake Buck will even sign it if you want.
And I will sign it, Blake Buck. Yeah, maybe we should be an auction. Who knows? If you're interested, feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever. Anyway, enough getting sidetracked. Prince of Persia Rival Swords on the Wii and PSP. Ubisoft delivers the Prince of Persia Rival Swords on the Nintendo Wii using the Two Thrones core. What the hell? And adding Wiimote and Nunchuck action into the gameplay. That sounds awful. We've also got Final Fantasy Fables, Chocobo Tales on the Nintendo DS. Coming out on April 3rd, Chocobo gets his own game in the Final Fantasy Fables Chocobo DS. That sounds awful, too. Somebody else take the rest of these.
All right, we got Enchanted Arms for the PS3 from the software supporting its role-playing game. From software supporting its role-playing game, which features a student of magic, Harry Potter, whose destiny is to save the universe. From Xbox 360 to Sony's next-gen console, The Sims 2 Celebration Stuff for PC, dated April 3rd. Sims 2 Celebration Stuff adds more stuff for your Sims to celebrate about. Oh, my God.
You get the impression they're scraping the barrel with these.
Let me say something about this expansion pack. Okay, people always talk about Will Wright. Will Wright, he's an industry leader. His new games spoil clearly the next generation of video games. And then you look at what are they putting out? Sims 2. A collection of to go in your house. The Sims 2 celebration stuff adds bullshit to add into your bullshit house. That's not even adding new gameplay dynamics. You're just adding bullshit.
Dude, it's genius. Your girlfriend's going to snatch that shit up.
All right. Well, that's all for releases. Now it's time for judgment.
Dude, there is so much judgment this week. It's blowing my mind. All right. So we have double X-Blah judgment to start off. I'm going to give you Castlevania Symphony of the Night for X-Blah, which came out 2 weeks ago. So pretty much all you need to know is just buy this game. I don't need to say anything. Go out and get it, period. However, there's a couple of gotchas. Notably, it's the menu system. The menu sucks. It's typical digital Eclipse. Let's just off onto an Xbox for a couple minutes and make a menu and ship it off.
Seriously, man, Digital Eclipse needs to get their user interfaces in a row. They suck. Ninja Turtles is just like start options quit with Ninja Turtle graphics on the right. Lame.
But luckily, you, as soon as you hit single-player game, you can completely dodge that stuff. Except, in the game, they have swapped. Like, normally you hit start on the PS version. Start now brings up the Digital Eclipse menu. Now, actually, back button on the 360, which is sort of like where select is now your subscreen. That still f***ing my head up. So thumbs down for Digital Eclipse for the menus, but otherwise... it's nearly a perfect port. I mean, some people have complained that,
immaculate.
Like for instance, the red skeleton that comes back to life doesn't make a sound anymore. But I'm like, dude, shut the f*** up.
Who the f*** figures that out? Well, in level 3-2, the red skeleton, upon striking him once, does not make a noise when I'm resurrecting. It used to make a noise like this. And I can't hear that anymore, and I'm very upset.
Now, actually, there are some improvements to the X-Blah, though. For instance, there are there's no more loading. It loads once, and that's it. There's none of that. Like before, you know, you would run through the hallway and like the little CD loading hallway, and there'd be that pause. Ain't no pause anymore. And also, there's no more slowdown. Like, for instance, if you kill a boss and a little HP thing fades into view and it brings the PS to a crawl.
Oh, yeah.
Xbox 360 handles that quite nicely. So it's the extra improvements, some janks, but overall, thumbs way up.
Definitely. I picked it up. And also, it's got achievement points, son. Justin Fick has beaten me on achievement points, so I got to hurry up and get my game on.
Dude, I'm going to get the rest of it tonight, dude. Dude, I am on the Richter Inverted Castle. I am like, I need to air dash through two dudes and then use holy water on the final boss. And then I got my last 35 achievement points.
Oh, man.
That's like 5 minutes away.
In fact, I might even call this game the best Xbox Live Arcade title yet. I'm trying to think if there's another one.
I agree.
I mean, Ninja Turtles is pretty good too, but Symphony of the Night.
Now, see, I didn't buy Ninja Turtles.
Dude, you gotta have Ninja Turtles, baby. You gotta have Ninja Turtles. What's wrong with you?
Dude, I got the demo Ninja Turtles. I was like, okay, I remember this game, and then stopped playing it.
Dude. You see, I think Justin Fick was too old for Ninja Turtles.
Dude, I played the shit out of some Ninja Turtles. Dude, I played four-player Ninja Turtles in the arcade all day. Like,
so did I.
A $10 roll of quarters turned to liquid because of Ninja Turtles.
Dude, you know what the game they need to come out with for XBLA is Battletoads. You remember that game?
Dude, nobody would beat that game. It would just make these kids cry nowadays.
I know. They need to be reminded of their roots, Battletoads. I remember we'd rent that tape and like bang at it all night, and we just can't do it. You get to the bike level and you just can't do it. It's impossible.
It would have one achievement, 200 points, beat Battletoads. That's it.
Dude, that's like our next game coming up here on the judgment. But first, you've got another one for us, Justin Fick.
So the other X-Blah judgment I have is Jetpack Refueled. Now, this was last week's X-Blah release, and Jetpack Refueled is a remake of Jetpack, which was Rare's before they were aware of their very first game. So, you know, you can tell that the guys behind it, they put a lot of love into it. There's a lot of nostalgia, you know, and it gives you this whole rich history of the game. And they fail to tell you that the game sucks at thumbs down all over the place.
What the hell?
Like, I remember before I downloaded Jetpack, I was thinking to myself, man, I really hated Jetpack. I've never liked that game. And I downloaded it, and I'm like, well, this isn't as bad as I thought it was, but it still sucks really bad. Nobody likes that game.
So I don't know anyone who would buy this piece of shit. Thumbs down.
I think it was big in Europe, Jetpack. We didn't really have it over here in America, so maybe some European gamers, it'll bring back those fond memories. All right, the next game, guys, I got to tell you, this might even be so far, like, Xbox 360 game of the year right now for me. All right, you guys better hold on to your butts, because for my judgment this week, we've got Earth Defense Force 2017. Earth Defense Force 2017 is for an Xbox 360 game where in the year 2015, we found out there was aliens on some distant planet. On 2016, they sent them some spooky messages, and we formed the Earth Defense Force in case something bad happened. 2017, the aliens are here, and we got to blow them the f*** up. This game follows the same design that Kill Monty has. You're in a city, and they just throw literally, sometimes upwards of 100 enemies at you at once. There are so many, there's flying enemies, they're giant robots, they're giant, everything's giant in the game, let's just get that out of the way. Giant ants, big, like, AT-ST looking things, and oh, it's so awesome. You shoot everything. Some have called the game shallow, and maybe you're right. Maybe the game is shallow, but I love it. I'm just running around, I'm shooting. It's got 50 levels of blowing up action fun. It's got 120 different weapons and 5 difficulty levels. So that's, and also 2-player co-op. I'm in heaven. I don't see how they could have done this game better. It may not be the deepest game. It may not win awards for depth, but it is a damn lot of fun to play.
Now, I gotta say, not only is this game fun, I am staring at it right now. Earth Defense Force 2017 almost repaired my microphone for this podcast.
What?
I'm actually dead serious. So, if you haven't noticed, I sound like this podcast because wires are popping out of my piece of microphone. So, before show, I tried my damnedest to MacGyver this microphone by actually taking the little sticky strip on the outside of Earth Defense Force and trying to tape the wire back into place in my microphone with it.
Now, Justin Fink, how did your microphone get that way? I mean, like, these things seem pretty solidly constructed if you've got the same one I do.
Dude, this thing is like 20 years old. This is f***ing Indiana Jones microphone. this is like the microphone out of the Lost Ark.
Harrison Ford used this to beat the Nazis.
So, but in the process of taping the red wire, I ripped out the blue wire. So this microphone is now useless. If this microphone was a bomb, we'd be f***ing dead. So while Earth Defense Force did not fix my microphone, it is a damn fun game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like the frame rate slows down sometimes, and the graphics aren't super stellar, and the animations are a little weird. And sometimes, like, one thing I've noticed with your teammates that help you along, like, they'll it's like one guy recorded all the dialogue for them. So, like, if one of them says yeah, then they'll all say yeah, but it sounds the exact same. So they're going yeah, 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 yeah. It's ridiculous. That, and to me, that almost makes it better. So it's an absolutely ridiculous game. And it's only... Well, wait. I'm going to save the price for the jank. That's part of our jank this week. So I'm going to hide that power until we get to the jank section. Oh, and before we move on, let me talk about the achievement points. Like I was saying earlier, this game has 5 achievement points for beating it on the 5 difficulty levels. That is it. Very simple and straightforward achievement points. And there's like one for getting all the guns in the game. So, yeah, Earth Defense Force, pick it up.
I can get behind that.
Look, that is a mark of courage to all my Xbox buddies. They're gonna see my Earth Defense Force badges and know I'm a warrior.
Dude, you enjoy your head start and them badges while you got it, Blake Buck. Because as soon as I air dash to these dudes and sniff the end night, I'm coming after you.
All right, what else we got?
So I'm going to bring us home on this judgment with another two-part Revenge of the Casual game. So I picked up a DS game called Scourge Hive about a week ago and gave it a nice long shot, and it was like I picked it up because like you could tell just by looking at it that this is someone's like creative artistic vision. Like it's an original IP and it uses a combination of well-working game mechanics. Like it's basically a top-down Metroid fusion. You go and you find guns and you can use guns on enemies and you know, like basically you get like a grappling hook and the game's a piece of thumbs down.
Awesome.
Like everything is there for it to be a good game, but no, it's a piece of thumbs down. Part two of Revenge of the Casual game is a game called Puzzle Quest. Maybe you've heard of it. It's Jewel Swap. It's Jewel Swap with hit points. So basically, word was going around at Freeverse about Jewel Swap Puzzle Quest. So I downloaded the PC demo, and it's Jewel Swap with hit points, and it's f***ing amazing. This game blows me away. And I'm pissed off, actually, because none of these places have the DS version of this game, because I want it in my right now.
I've been looking for the PSP version of this game, and it's quite elusive. So if you're into this kind of game, like a Jewel Swap with some RPG elements and collecting, you know, you should definitely go seek it out right now before it gets hard to find, or get it offline off the Amazon or something.
Like I have never been so horny for swapping jewels in my life, but I got a chance to try out the PC demo and played it for a good long time. Basically, it starts you off as an RPG. You create a dude, you pick a class, and it gives you like this Final Fantasy Tactics map. And you basically, you know, get quests and you go around. And when you go into battle, it becomes Jewel Swap. So you basically take turns Jewel Swapping with your foe. And each color of jewel is a certain type of mana, which lets you cast spells. And then there's golden experience jewels that give you golden experience. And there's skulls, which hurt the dude. So you have to hurt the dude, not let him hurt you. And it becomes wicked deep when, like, after you start building up experience and gaining levels and gaining spells, like, just the ways you can bend the rules. Like, it's Jewel Swap meets Diablo. There are so many codes to get in this game, it's not even funny. You can get gear, you can get mounts, you can get party members that increase your stats, you can take over cities, you can forge items, you can capture monsters. It's like there's easily 100 hours of gameplay up in this heat. If that didn't convince you, there's actually a stat in Puzzle Quest called Battle.
What does this stat do?
It helps you battle. It makes your battling stronger.
Dude, my battle stat's higher than your stat. You dead.
I got this Facebook message the other day about an event that was going on. It's called the Battle of Forsyth. Now, Forsyth Park in Savannah is this real big park. It's in the center of the historic district, a lot of green space or whatever. So apparently, like, the rules to battle of Forsyth are you have to wear a helmet, and you have to your weapons can be made only of like cardboard and duct tape, and if you get thrown on your back or on your stomach, you lose and you're out. Now, I've seen this kind of thing before. Usually it's pretty dumb, you know, you got LARPers running around doing dumb stuff. But like, I go into restaurants and I've heard people talking about this thing. There are gonna be like a jillion people hitting each other with bats in Forsyth Park on Friday. I'm going to bring a camera and take a picture of it.
I'm doing it on Priceline.com right now.
Dude, seriously, like, I'm thinking about entering. It'd be pretty fun. But I'm going to go to watch, definitely. Battle.
Oh, man. So, I was getting back to Puzzle Quest. I was thinking about how Puzzle Quest is designed. You know, it's kind of like that Escape Velocity Nova kind of thing where you just keep, your guy keeps getting better. Or like Sid Meier's Pirates where your guy keeps getting better and better and getting bigger and bigger. And that's sort of, I don't know if I've ever told this anecdote on the show before, but if I have, it may even be time to reprise it, just because it's such a good example of game design. So, me and my girlfriend bought this rapper game called Get On To Mike from the clearance rack at Target for like $5. So we take this game home, we pop it in, right? You gotta sing along with the rap songs. It's real dumb. The detection on the mic is awful. Like, you could just go blah, 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 and you get a perfect score. It's stupid. But But one of the key dynamics in this game is as you got better, you got more money. And as you got more money, you could buy more bling, you could get more houses, you could get, like, honeys, you could buy cars and, like fast motorcycle. But the thing about this wasn't, like, a real, like, motorcycle that you could drive. In fact, it's what, the fast cars or house, you couldn't even go inside them. This was a picture. It had your rapper there, and behind him was a picture of all the, like, the bling you had won. So when you bought the car, a picture of a car appeared behind you. And when you bought the house, you got a picture of the house behind you. You bought the chopper, there's a chopper behind you. And that was it. That was all you did. And it was, and we beat that game all the way, like, three times through to get all the bling. Because it hooks you. It hooks you. You gotta get all the bling. And even though it was a stupid, just a picture of bling and rappers, it was incredibly addictive. So that's I would imagine this is the same school of design that Puzzle Quest follows, in that you want to keep getting more, even though, you know, it's simply jewel swap from a gameplay perspective. Anything else, guys?
It's time for the jank.
All right, guys. So to reprise my Earth Defense Force singing it on the mountaintop, you can get Earth Defense Force for not $60, not a $70 collector's edition. You can get the full meal deal, Earth Defense Force 2017, Xbox 360, $40, brand new, right now. Now that is a savings. Man. And look, I'm sure if you can still find it, the price is only going to go down. So, you know, it's a cheap game. And you have a lot of fun with it. So $40 at GameStop or any retailer.
Dude, at $40 and 120 guns, that's about 30 cents per gun.
That is very true. All right, now it's time for feedback. Our first one is from Sirius Fox. He says, well, you guys have done it. After however long it's been since listening to your show, I've started saying D. My primary usage of D is a triumph word, or as a word of now. Keep podcasting, Sirius Fox. Well, it spreads. The D spreads. That's all I can say. We got another email here from Christian of Harmonix Sean Baptiste roommates fame. That's hard to say. He's Sean Baptiste roommates of Sean Baptiste, I don't know. Hey guys, it's Christian again. Finally got a chance to listen to episode 16. Great show. I'm cool that you guys put me and the feedback on the air. Oh, well, you're welcome. We read all our emails because we have field time. But I have a problem with Mr. Buck. Maybe I don't understand him correctly, but it seems like Blake Buck was saying that because Kotaku didn't accede? That's not a word for Blake Buck. To Sony's wishes, they had no journalistic integrity. If so, attention, Blake Buck, your idea of journalistic integrity is the exact opposite of journalistic integrity. Kotaku's first responsibility is to report stories to their readers. If you let Sony or any of the other companies set the agenda, they are compromising their journalistic integrity. Kotaku is not the arm of Sony PR. You're free to think of Kotaku as a bunch of but you're flat out wrong to think that the model of journalistic integrity is to let other parties decide when you do or do not report what you do or do not report on. Just thought I'd clear that up. Still love the podcast. You guys are the car talk of video game podcasts. Thank you, sir. Well, what do you guys think in response to that?
Well, it's not so much that Kotaku was letting Sony determine their PR and muscle them around. It's that, you know, Kotaku overstepped their bounds. Sony said, "F you," and then Kotaku went around, you know, waving the free speech flag and all that kind of stuff. It's like, listen, like, or for instance, if they had not pulled it and just left it up, that would have gotten the most respect out of me. So in that respect, I agree with Christian. You know, to call yourself a serious gaming journalistic site and then, you know, basically wave around the banners we're waving around when Sony tells you to piss off. You can't really have the best of both worlds. Like, we've had this discussion before, too, in previous episodes, but we really don't try to pass ourselves off as a serious news site. So, you know, when Sony tells us to eat a d**k, we're like, dude, Sony's a bunch of d**ks.
Also, Christian, this is one of the best compliments of the show I think I've ever heard in feedback. You guys are the car talk
a video game podcast. If you guys have not heard Car Talk, this is a great show. It comes on NPR. It's recorded in Massachusetts. It's awesome. It's just two guys who know everything about cars. There's no, and people call up and they just make fun of each other and talk about cars. It's awesome. Even if you don't like cars, Car Talk, go listen to it. It's amazing. And then to be compared with them, quite an honor. Thank you, Christian. So next email is from Mike Apps. It says, your show is great, but your website seriously needs more cowbell. Like more listener submitted articles, and not just because I like to see my rants in print. Also, how about doing some sort of destroy Blake Buck and Gears of War competition or something, Mike asks. Well, Mike, you know, if we actually received articles from listeners in our emails, or if Bruce Morrison, our editor, was receiving articles to put up on the site, we would pay more attention to the site. I mean, honestly, like we've said on the podcast multiple times, you guys, we want you to write for the site. You can put your stuff up there if you want to, you know, within reason. And nobody does.
And in fact, Mike Apps has even written stuff for us.
Yeah, Mike Apps has written several times.
Yeah, Mike, you have done that.
Absolutely. If you guys want to see more content on the site, more written content, you guys got to write it for us, babe, because I don't know how to write, because I can't even read. Why am I reading this email right now? I don't know. But if you want to submit written content to the site, we would love to read it. In fact, as long as it's not garbage, we're going to put it up there. We're clearly desperate for content. So just send us an email to either feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can send an email to our news editor, Bruce Morrison, at bruce@freeverse.com. Either way, it'll get there. And get your own articles on the site. In fact, William Miller, I hear there's some new rumblings about the website.
There are some new rumblings about the website, but, you know, there are rumblings about the website all the time. I, you know, like, here's the thing that's going to get William Miller to actually, like, kickstart a new web initiative for BDPE, and that means, like, new website, new forum, all that new stuff, is if we start actually seeing activity on the site, if we see people submitting articles, if we see, you know, our hits go up or whatever, that's going to be what makes the site happen. And if that's not there, there's really no motivation for me to do it. I mean, maybe new forum because we have so much spam, but other than that, you know.
Yeah, but we would love to see more written stuff on the site. So just send your emails off to feedback@bestdamnpodcastever or bruce@freeverse.com. What's the next email go?
All right. We got one from Chump Boy. It says, hey, guys, congrats on making it to number 32 on Podcast Alley. That number is not correct. It's number 30. You guys should do an emergency podcast telling your listeners who haven't voted yet to vote. You're just one slot shy beating out .jpeg, or excuse me, .mpeg podcast that is Soccer Girl, which we did beat.
That's right. I mentioned that at the start of the show. We beat Soccer Girl. Blam. And look. Soccer Girl is a fairly. She used to be in top 10. That's a.
Yeah.
Dude, soccer girls are not sexy. Stinks after soccer practice. I know this.
Oh, Justin Fick.
Oh. Terrible.
All right, so of course, it's a little scary that .mpeg is about to be beaten out by a bunch of guys talking about video games. Pretty much proves that podcast listeners are a bunch of sweaty nerds who prefer rolling dungeon dice instead of f***ing off. Chump Boy.
Delicious.
Justin Vic, take this one. Go.
All right. Jeremy W. writes, dear Blake Buck and friends, I have a moral dilemma. I have many purchased computer games, Mac and PC, that demand that I leave their CD and my CD-ROM drive to actually play them. I believe that there is no good reason why gaming companies force me to do this. This causes needless wear and tear on my computer system. I believe that once I install a game, I should be able to put the original CD away. I hate being treated like a criminal. I fix this problem by having to visit nefarious websites like GameCopyWarSomething.com and Demo.SomethingTools.com and downloading EXE files to prevent the game from asking for the stupid CD. Blake Buck, should I feel guilty for doing this? Do I have a point? Or should I stop being a whiny little b? Forget what would Jesus do. My faith supports the mantra of what would Blake Buck do. Thank you in advance, your faithful listener, Jeremy.
My son, Jeremy W., as moral and religious leader of this podcast, I cannot tell you what to do with your life. However, if you wish to follow the path of righteousness, you will steal every video game you've ever wanted in your life. Get them all at Usenet.com.
Well, I mean, for a lot of games, you're actually streaming content
off of the CD. Now, that's not so true anymore.
Well, that's not so much true anymore. It used to be like when you play Quake and play sounds off them discs.
I don't know. As far as like wear and tear on your computer system, CD-ROM drives were meant to play CDs, and that's just what they do. And actually, it's not spinning in that drive the whole time you're playing your game. Plus, you know, if your drive breaks because you're playing CDs on it, just get a new one. They're like $10, I promise.
In fact, most games, if you just turn it on with the CD in, you can actually take it out. And until you quit the game, you don't have to put it in again.
It's still pretty... It's annoying, but...
It's sort of a casual piracy, you know, stopgap. Essentially, I mean, it keeps me from giving this disc to William Miller if we're living in the same place and he's playing it on his machine too. You know, it's... Again, with software piracy, you don't want to stop everybody. You just want to stop the casual users from stealing your stuff. And that's what it's designed against. In fact, I really don't see this going away anytime soon. Do you guys do? I mean, maybe with digital distribution, maybe?
No, it doesn't matter because you can just copy the CD anyway. Copy the CD, give it to all your friends, and all of them play with their copy CDs in the drive. That's what we did with StarCraft. I didn't say that.
See, I like StarCraft because... Those old games had, like, spawn feature. You remember that, where you could, like, spawn a game somebody's computer? That was a really good idea, because that's like, a positive method for preventing copy protection. Instead of saying, you know, instead of implementing all these hard-edged copy protection procedures, they said, well, we'll give you a little part of the game so you can play multiplayer or whatever with your friends, and that will prevent most of the people from copying the CD and passing it on, you know?
Very true. So to answer your question, Jeremy, no, I don't think you shouldn't feel like you're doing something illegal by, you know, using like Daemon tools or whatever you use. It's just, you know, if that's what you want to use, that's fine. No big deal, baby.
Jank them codes.
Look, Blake Buck steals everything. Okay. Seriously, I don't usually steal video games. Usually. I'm looking at you, Lego Star Wars 2. I said usually, damn it.
All right, so David M. writes, "Boo to you, Blake Buck, for down-thumbing Pirates and Collateral. You may not like the actors involved, but you can't argue that the scripts at least were brilliant."
Pause. Those scripts sucked. Those movies sucked because the scripts sucked. The acting was fine in both those movies, except the stories were like, what are they doing? Well, pirates, I guess we're going to drive around, and then we got to do this, and what's going on now? It's 3 hours later. I got to be off today.
Dude, I love Pirates and Pirates 2, and I saw the trailer for Pirates 3. I squealed like a and myself.
I liked Pirates 1. Pirates 2, no dice. That was for Dungeon Dices only. I'm trying to say the word dice as many as I can. Andrew Dice Clay. I'm trying to get them all out there.
David M. continues, "My favorite BDP podcasting moment for your 50th. The Tom Barbalay song as sung by Blake Buck, tenor, and Justin Fick, bass baritone." Now, I'll have you know that Justin Fick sung both parts.
He's a talented man.
All right, so the next email is from Nick S. Says, "This is the first podcast of your show that I've listened to. You guys were talking about some other game reviewers getting a big head. I think that affects you guys more than anyone, as one of you guys on the show refers to himself in the third person, Justin Fick, spelled with a K."
Justin Fick does no such thing.
Now, we've all referred to ourselves in the third person at one point in time or another. I think you got to remember that the Best Damn Podcast Ever is not a news site or not a news podcast. We're not trying to be credible. We're shooting from the hip, and we make fun of everybody, and that's just how we roll. Now, Nick S., thanks for your input.
It's the same way how The Daily Show can make fun of CNN.
Exactly.
Right, because it's not on the same level. That's sort of how our show is.
But we are very full of ourselves. We'll be the first to admit it.
Not Blake Buck, third person. All right, so our next email comes from Sippin' the Swede. Our good buddy Sippin' the Swede, he says, "Hi, BDPE. Dude, I don't know what my t-shirt size is, but apparently it's the one that says L on it. There's every chance that it's actually an M or S by American standards. I've been told by by the popular media that everyone is fat there. Ha, ha, ha." Hey, Blake Buck is sensitive about his weight, you asshole. "Someone's unwittingly won the mystery game contest from way back." So, you guys remember, this is like one of our first shows.
Oh my god.
Sippin' the Swede sent us an email asking us to find it was a screenshot from some Apple II game that nobody knew what it was, and he didn't know what it was.
No. It wasn't a screenshot. It was something he drew. Remember? Wasn't it like in paint or something. But yeah, somebody actually found... This is the longest running open contest in our podcasting history. And somebody has solved it. I looked at this thread and...
43 episodes later.
Amazing.
This was in episode 7 of the old school IMG.
This wasn't actually connected with our show. He found it on Mac.TheUnderdog, some Mac forum somewhere.
No, see, here's what happened now. I read the thread. Here's what happened. Somebody posted a picture of this game on their thread. Then somebody else on the forum, knowing that Sippin was looking for it, said, "Oh, we better find Sippin and tell him." Because apparently he'd been looking for it on the same forum before. Awesome.
I love it. Well, congratulations, Sippin, and Soraya7.
If you want to come claim your prize,
Tunzer at InsideMacGames.com.
Oh no, that's right. You can get a month of IMG for free.
We're still giving out games, baby. Could you still list them, Blake Buck?
Dude, Age of Mythology, James Bond, 007, Nightfire, Lord of the Rings, Return of the Ring, motherfucker.
Look, I don't know about all that, but Soraya7, if you're hearing this, my account is still active. I hadn't been shut down yet. I can get you an IMG Pro account, okay? Tunzer hadn't deactivated my account, so I still got a little power. Dude, we should just continue to raffle that off on this show. Oh, I love it. All right, he also continues, "Also, if I impersonate Justin Miller or whoever it was that was dateless, if I impersonate them online and get tons of hot dates because of my amazing charisma, or I should read this like something, because of my amazing charisma, then he dates them and they never know it's not the one they talk to. Do I win, or will you just arrest me for impersonating a podcast officer and general unethical behavior?" / Sipon. He's saying if he impersonates you and gets hot dates for you, is that legal for the Justin Fick get a hot date contest?
Well, here's the thing. The Justin Fick hot date contest is over.
What?
Justin Fick has gotten a hot date.
Whoa.
The winner of the hot date contest, me.
What is going on?
Dude, that's why we have no show, because Justin Fick was on a hot date all weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
Contest over.
What happened? Justin Fick, you better have pictures of this hot date.
Yeah, we have to validate if it's hot or not, because if it's not, the contest is still on, baby.
Those pictures are worth $50 in BDPE merchandise.
So if I present said pictures, do I get $50 of BDP merchandise?
No. We all know the answer.
You guys.
I love how we can't afford our own merch if we had merch.
It doesn't even exist yet. Look, we've been working on the shirts, and in about a week's time, we're hoping to launch the Cafe Press store with a bunch of merchandise and shirts and stuff for you to buy. In fact, we've even got a couple of contests planned around the new store opening. So you guys better be ready. It's coming soon. If not, you know, this week, next week, or the week after, you know, sometime before Christmas. That's what we're really getting at. So Mr. Barbalay has responded to Sippin' the Swede. He says, "Mr. Swede, with your background in female impersonating, I'd hoped you would enter the Justin Fick hot date contest. Sadly, your time has passed, and the fabulous Cafe Press prizes will have to be put away for another contest. Speaking of contests, here's a new one for the audience." Uh-oh. We've got a new Tom Barbalay contest. The best impersonating of Blake Buck via audio file or voicemail will win $50 in Cafe Press stuff. 3 episodes to enter. Oh, blam. So feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever or 845-BATTLE-9. Heat D, go, Mr. Barbalay. So that's a hell of a contest.
Mr. Barbalay laid down the heat.
I know, he took charge.
The gauntlet has fallen.
So we got 3 weeks. Best impersonation of Blake Buck. You could do it seriously, try and match my speaking patterns. Or you could just stylize me. Like, you could pretend like if I were to impersonate myself, here's what it would sound like. "Oh, hello, I didn't see you come in. I'm Blake Buck." Yes. "I love all manner of the arts and beauty to no limit. My pectoral muscles are the size of watermelons.
Those are called breasts.
Shut up, you plebe. As I was saying, women flock to me like bees to honey, or bees to a flower. So I don't really know where the bees go.
Nick Ash, you getting all this?
Yeah, so there you go. You can send in something like that if you like. So you can either send an audio file to feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever or call the listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. Who's ready for the stomp, baby?
All right, I've been getting you guys, and I'm tired of it, so I'm going to give you a freebie. You better get this one.
Uh-oh.
Blake Buck, you really better get this one. I'm going to worry about you. My game this week is Cannon Fodder.
Sorry. Dude, I got Cannon Fodder. Now, I'm not sure about the original, because I know there's a 3D version, but I don't think the original. That was just like Worms, right? You were on a map, and you were in a tank, and you shot at each other, right?
No,
that's, you're on a map, you aimed your little artillery guns, and you shot at the other dude with, like, your bazooka.
Dude, no, that's not it.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Cannon Fodder is an old DOS game.
Is that like Dungeon DOS?
Dungeon DOS. It was a top-down perspective, and you had this squad up to 8 dudes, which you can then separate into 3 more squads. And you shot heat at the other colored dudes that were all over the place. So you're in a jungle, and there was one that was in the desert.
Dude, that's what I said.
Wait. So you shot heat at colored dudes? Is this like a Malcolm X thing, or...?
No. Like one set of dudes had one uniform, one set of dudes had the other. So you shot cannons at these dudes. But anyway, it was like there's been a whole bunch of iterations for this thing. There's one even started on DOS and it went on to like Amiga and Amiga CD 32, and there's even a like 3DO version and a Game Boy version of this game and a mobile phone, and I think there was even like a talk of a PlayStation one that kind of fell through, and I think there's even a PSP something or other in the make.
Dude, I heard of it. Yeah, I got back. That's what I said. You're on a map, you shoot the other dudes. I knew basically what it was. I got tank, I got shoot.
My favorite thing about this game is that the intro screen, like a little splash screen with the logo, it's got Cannon Fodder written in real, it's like black. It's got Cannon Fodder written in real nice font, nice lettering. And it's got this this like poppy flower in the middle with a cannon in the middle of it.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
It's awesome.
All right, Just Vic, go.
All right, my heat this week is Gods.
That's not like Midway presents War Gods, the ultimate game in god-based fighting action. You remember that game? That fighting game in arcades in like the late 90s. It was like 3D. It had Anubis. It was like Mortal Kombat. It had like Anubis, and you could do like the spikes coming out of the ground fatality and stuff.
Dude, why the hell would anyone not be Zeus?
Gods. It's just called Gods? All right, this is clearly a Peter Molyneux open-ended game. It's like video game 2.0. And it's going to have these features where, like, you grow grass, but then as the grass grows, it, like, turns into people. And then the people walk around, and then you, like, make your own kingdom. And then you build the planet up, and then you got all... And then we're going to have trees that sway in the wind, and then they die, and the new trees grow. But then we're going to cut those features before it ever makes the final build.
Once again, Blake Buck, not only are you wrong, but the game that you just described to me is better than the actual game that Gods actually is. So Gods came out in 1991. It came out for I played it on Super Nintendo, but it also came out for Mega Drive, Genesis. It was by the Bitmap Brothers, and you weren't actually a god at all. You're just some dude in a helmet, and you don't even fight any gods. But your dude throws like 3 axes at the same time, and then enemies pop out of nowhere and it's right in front of you and kill you in one hit. It's absolutely retarded, and you control like a sack of with one leg.
Wait, what?
Well, that sounds awful.
A sack of with one leg?
I don't know. It had trouble walking, wouldn't it?
Okay.
I don't know.
Justific loves picking awful games.
All right, Blake, what's your stump?
All right, my stump for you guys. Now this one's a good one. This is the best kind of stump because, like you guys, it's kind of ambiguous what this game is. I'm just gonna say the subtitle, but well, I'll just say what the game's called. Are you ready? Rebel Strike.
Rebel Strike, as in Star Wars Rebel Strike.
All right, look.
I didn't say that.
Look, I got this. All right, no, it's not Star Wars. It's a Civil War game in which you play a good Southern boy sent away from your family to fight the Northern Federalists, the aggressors. This is the War of Northern Aggression we're talking about now. And so what you do is you got a whole line of them Federalists line up in their field like they do, and you hide in a bush. And then when you're ready, you pop out and you shoot a bunch of them and you jump back in before they can shoot you. That's Rebel Strike.
So where does Darth Vader fit into this?
I was in the student union the other day at my college, right? And they had a sign up saying, get your free caricatures right here. So I thought, oh, I got 2 hours to blow. Let me do this, right? So Blake Buck sat in line. This dude's talking to everybody. Anyway, I get there to get my face done. And this dude was laying into me real deep about how I need to know about my Southern heritage and the might of the South during the Civil War. And how it was them Northern aggressors that really spurred the war. Did you know that Massachusetts denied the decisions of the Supreme Court? And that's what really caused Civil War. It wasn't even the South at all. It blew my mind.
Look, the South will rise again, all right?
I'm ready.
It will. We will. It will rise again. We'll march across and get them Federalists. We will.
In fact, I think, Justin Fick, I think you would qualify as a Yank. So you better be on the lookout.
You would.
Dude, I'm as Yank as they come.
Yep, you would.
I'm sitting in the middle of New York waiting for your ass. It's gonna be battle.
Here's okay. So I went to I was in Boston last summer working at Harmonix, right? And I thought, you know, being a Southern boy, I'm fairly ignorant of what the North is. I think they're a bunch of Yanks, a bunch of heathens. They're not God fearing men like we are down here. And I thought, well, this is gonna be nice. You know, I'll go up there. It'll be nice and cold. Because it's north, that's cold. No, it was hot. Why the hell is the north hot? Blake Buck, do you think of the north as being hot? No.
No, it's supposed to be cold. It's snow, baby.
No, it's cold. They f***ing hunt woolly mammoths up there, baby. Some of the Yanks do.
Dude, I don't have time for Yanks, all right? Go get my Dixie car and drive down to Old Man Marmalade's cabin and get me some moonshine.
At Blake Buck's school, Ole Miss, and in my hometown, Oxford, Mississippi, you go to a football game and they have the Star Spangled Banner right before the football game starts, and you stand up for that, and then you remain standing for Dixie. You do. You remain standing for Dixie, and at the end of Dixie, they say the South will rise again in chorus. The whole stadium does. Yep.
Because it's true. It's true.
Dude, so is this before or after they dude?
It's before.
This is generally a little bit before, but sometimes during. Because we're in a rush or something, you know?
No. See, look now. We like people because we realize that they play sports real good.
They can be on athletics. We can have them on our athletics.
Oh, God. I'm really not a I promise.
Just don't let them. We ain't ever going to have no co-ed dorms. I ain't doing that.
Dude, I'm sneaking down there. I'm sneaking down to the South. I'm freeing your slaves. You guys better stop me.
In our base, freeing our slaves? Don't do that.
I'm going to emancipate your proclamations, all of them.
All right. Oh, my God. We wasted so much time. Rebel Strike is a Star Wars game, but that's not good enough because you didn't tell me what you do in that Star Wars game. There have been like 3,000 Star Wars games. So what do you do in Rebel Strike?
Cut.
You're rebelling, you strike.
You don't know this game. This was the sequel to Factor 5's, what was it called? Rogue Squadron. Remember they made Rogue Squadron, and they made Rogue Squadron 2 Rogue Leader on the GameCube, and then they made Rebel Strike. And it was on the way out for the GameCube, but it's a pretty good game. You go around, you shoot, you're flying around, you shoot what are they called? I want to say Nazis. They're not Nazis. Stormtroopers. It's a lot of fun. And you can probably find it nowadays for like $10. So Rebel Strike, check it out. All right, well, now it's time for the outro. Man, I want to start doing it fast again. Like, we did it last week, and now I want to do it every show. But it's got to be special. We can only save that for special occasions. So that does for this week and the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It was a pretty good show, Blake Buck.
It's a good show. A lot of heat.
A lot of heat. I think we're going to be right at about an hour and a half. So I think Tom Barbalay won't be so mad at us this week. If you'd like to send us any feedback, or you want to send us any of your written submissions for stuff to go on the website, shoot us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. You can also get in touch with us for the contest submissions of Sounding Like Me to win that $50 in Cafe Press stuff. In fact, for more inspiration, William Miller, can you impersonate Blake Buck right now for me? That was it.
That's as far as I can get.
You could have just called in and made that noise and you would have won.
Oh, wait, Blake Buck, I meant to ask you, before we close out the show, did you ever go by the Brain Center and get checked out for your learning disability?
Well, see, I thought about going. See, I was out eating dinner with my psychology buddy. He's like, Blake, they got free, you know, therapy for those who need it. You can go and get your brain test there. But I don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be a fee involved. I think the brain test costs money. If anybody knows how I can get free brain tests, feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
See Nick S. How self-deprecating we are on this show. It's all tongue-in-cheek, my friend.
Or if you want to help Blake Buck pay for his brain test, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Look, if I somehow got like the exact amount of a brain test, I would make a video of Blake Buck getting brain tested. So, if you'd like to donate through PayPal, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Also, guys, remember, if you didn't do it earlier, and I know you're cheating, better go vote now at podcastalley.com, or just check out the show notes on the website, and there's a little vote button there to go to vote for us at Podcast Alley.
It's a new month. If you vote in March, vote again.
That's right. We gotta vote every month, guys. And look, some of you have told us, oh, you should have told us early in the month. I voted for some other show. If you vote for some other show, you will be removed from the feed automatically. I don't know how that works, but your RSS will unsubscribe instantly. You will lose the show. It knows. So we'd like to thank our literary agent, Tom Barbalay, for editing this podcast, which he refers to as Cut. We'd also like to thank our listeners for making us the number one gaming podcast on Podcast Alley.
In the world.
Right on.
So thanks again for that, guys. And finally, Mr. Barbalay has a note here. He says, why does Blake Buck's mother want to see him playing Marathon naked? Did I say that?
No. Your mother voted for us on Podcast Alley, which could be construed into meaning that she actually wants to see you playing Marathon naked. So, yes.
Oh, I see. Look, everybody wants to see Blake Buck play. I want to see me play Marathon naked. Sometimes when I think about myself naked playing Marathon. I'm going to be honest. That's what this show is about. It's about truth. Truth.
I think if that actually happens, we're going to lose our entire listener base. Like, they're all going to go away. Remember that time Bruce Morris had posted that crazy eBay picture of the naked dude with the PS3 in front of his crotch? It's like that. Like, nobody visited the site for 3 months until that picture got off the front page. It'll be like that.
I gotta say, though, if we lose all our listeners because of a video of Blake Buck playing Marathon naked, be worth it.
So from all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fake.
And we will see you next time. Dude, Real World came to my town one day, and I really wanted to go audition for Real World when they came to my town. But I knew, they're not looking for Blake Buck.
This is our command. This is our command.
I was out eating dinner with my psychology buddy. He's like, Blake, they got free, you know, therapy for those who need it. You can go and get your brain test there. But I don't know.
What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do about this problem? This is our command. This is our command.
If anybody knows how I can get free brain tests, feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do about this problem? This is our command.
Or if you want to help Blake Buck pay for his brain test, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com.